Before we get to our regularly scheduled, not scheduled, belated episode, we just wanted to apologize to you listeners for bearing with us during this time of turmoil and strife.
I don't know if we needed to apologize.
I apologized. Well, I apologize because I've gotten a lot of texts and supportive messages. Someone asked me if you were sick.
They asked you if I was sick.
Yeah, yeah. They assumed they would know if I was sick because we're friends. We're like, hey, is something wrong with Caitlin?
Yeah, why aren't you guys... I got career fever. That's what happened. I got a bad case of career fever. Yeah,
it's you and Chris. What's his name?
Well, here's what happened. We recorded this episode you're about to listen to the same day we recorded Bottle Rocket. And then in that week, life went wild.
The world fell apart.
The world fell apart and my life went a little wild. And so I wound up having to leave LA for a couple of weeks.
Like a month and a half almost, it felt like. A month.
Yeah, but only two of those weeks were me out of LA.
But you were.
And I got the long and short of it is I had to write another script all of a sudden, which I did not expect, and which the writing of it ate up a ton of time, and then the going to set and producing it took up a ton of time. So we do apologize because I don't.
You just talk yourself into an apology?
Yeah, because I did feel bad. It's like, you know, we made such a big deal about hitting this thing. Straight through for I made a big deal about hitting it straight through for like 100 episodes, and then we just took like 7 or 8 of them off.
You know what's funny? And this is honest truth.
I don't even know how long it's been.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't even know what episode we're on.
Not a clue.
What movie are we watching next?
Rocky V.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that just knowing Caitlin. So Caitlin is the one who posts these. He spent about a day trying to teach me a day. He spent an hour trying to teach me how to edit these. He was very nonplussed by my abilities. He was like, forget it. I'll just keep doing it.
Your abilities. Yeah, your abilities. Ability to pay attention is what I was.
I was focused right at it. And every time you asked me to do it.
The word nonplussed, by the way. I mean, okay, I guess I was stunned, but.
No, I think you're just like, like shrugged. You shrugged it off is what I mean. You're just like, forget it.
Do you
it.
Think that you gave me a real can-do attitude during those sessions that would have given me any reason to think that this was going well?
Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. I believe I gave you 85%.
No fucking way.
I do. No. And I do. And the embarrassing part is that you have done this now for 5 years. To you, you're like, here's my impression of Caitlin. This is off the rails already. Here's my impression of Caitlin teaching. You hit the hotkey, X, Y, Z, control, command, A, 1, 2, 3, and any questions? I was like, can you just show me that one more time? He was like, forget it. I'll do it myself.
That is so untrue.
That is almost
what I hate
precisely.
About that is you're playing into a characterization that I think people listening to this are going to believe.
I'm being God's
that is
honest
not
truth.
What I did.
This is 100% true.
We've tried this a few times.
And I tried.
Let's be honest.
I mean, I gave you 85%.
And I
even
was like, just watch me go through this. And I explained every step. And basically, the way you guys know, I use Final Cut. It's like, if you've ever used Final Cut, it's like, here's the splicer. And here's how you move this chunk. Like,
but here's
it's
how
very
we did it.
Simple.
You just drive the chunk, you put the thing, control one, and that's it. And I was like, just show me that one more time.
No,
like, forget it.
Oh my God. You were also painting this impression of this eager beaver, Travis, which is just not true.
I was
You're like, I want
to
go.
Learn.
And I was like, can you please just sit here and learn
hungry to
this?
Learn.
Let me
hungry.
Ask you a question. Do you have Final Cut at your house?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You have put forth no effort to take this show over after claiming you
anyway,
would.
So the after Kalen's failed attempt at teaching, he was like, I'll just do it. And I was like, cool, that's fine. So anyway, the point of that is that Caitlin posts the episodes, which you guys already know. And then Monday came around, we'd recorded Rocky V, and it didn't come out. And I was like, oh, well. Like, that's as much as thought as I gave it. And then it didn't come out the next week. I was like, fine. And then, you know, a month went by and people started to care. And God bless you. And thank you for your reaching out, you know, 10 of you or whatever. I was like, it'll come out when it comes out.
The truth is, this is deeply boring. I'm so
sorry.
No,
get into it.
I bought a new computer and that computer doesn't have the stuff on it. So I got to open my old broken computer.
That is deeply boring.
To get like, to re-up this thing. So, you know, and it's also, look, you'll hear at the end of this episode, it's Rocky V, and it was hard for us to be enthusiastic about it at all. I think it's a fun, funny episode in a certain way, but not because Rocky V is a fun or interesting film.
Do you know the episode, I'll let you guess, the episode I get the most positive feedback about?
No.
Super Mario Brothers.
Really?
Still, yeah. If you haven't heard that one, go back and listen to it. Apparently, people think it's funny.
Well, you know what else I want to say? And we'll do this on the next episode. Let's do a lot of this on the next episode. But like,
let's definitely re-litigate the entire editing process on the next
episode.
No,
we won't talk about editing. But I'll just push it off. But there's a lot of stuff that happened in between when we stopped recording and now that I think is worth and interesting to talk about.
All right.
And the teaser is, it has to do with our Revenge of the Nerds episode.
In the meantime, enjoy Rocky V.
Welcome to the 72nd episode of Does Your Favorite Movie Suck? I'm Out of Breath, where we revisit great movies from the 80s and 90s that actually might suck. My name is Kalen Egan.
My name is Travis Sintel, and I am goddamn stoked to be here right now.
I am too.
We're a little tipsy from the last episode we recorded. If I'm being honest, I feel like that's you.
It's 3 days later and we're still drunk.
Well, we haven't stopped.
How about that?
It's called a bender.
Bender.
A bender.
What better state of mind, Travis?
Yeah.
Than this to enter the Rocky franchise. Now, we've met Sylvester Stallone on this podcast.
Yeah.
We saw him in Demolition Man.
He was great.
And here he is in his element, in the character of his career.
Well,
at the nadir of that character.
That's right. The zenith of his professional career, but the nadir of the zenith. The nadir.
The nadir of the zenith. That's right. That's where we're at. Rocky V, the film that is often just sort of chucked out of the canon. People hate it so much.
Here's the weird thing about, well, unsurprisingly, or actually, surprisingly, I haven't seen any Rockies. So,
what?
Yeah, I know.
That so, really, no, I mean, you say this a lot, but that really blows my mind.
Yeah.
You've never seen any Rocky.
I bet you I maybe saw Rocky. Here's the problem with pop culture. I know the plots of all the Rocky movies, so I don't know if I've seen them. Like, that's a thing. I don't think I have. I know Rocky One. I know Rashad. I've seen a lot of images. I know the story of how it was made. I know about Carl Weathers, and I know about Dolph Lundgren. But I don't think I've seen them.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the worst place.
Well,
to
this is the Police Academy problem. I came into Police Academy in Police Academy 6.
Five.
Oh no, five is the fucking number
five
for me.
Five, in fact.
Oh no. Well, this is the problem. I come into franchises at five, and that's not good.
Well, here's where we have some common ground on this, though. I have seen and love Rocky.
Yeah.
Of course,
I've seen Creed. I should say seen Creed.
Well, that's important.
Yeah. Sure.
Of course, I have seen Rocky 2. And I caught Rocky 3 somewhere in there as a, you know, TV thing. I've never seen the Dolph Lundgren one, 4, and I've never seen 5.
Oh, this is a new one for you.
Never
this is a movie neither of us has seen.
But I have seen Rocky Balboa, and
fine.
I've seen Creed.
Okay,
and
fine.
So this movie falls in the gaps for both of us. But
that's great.
Having no knowledge of the franchise before Creed, I don't know how this is going to sit with you. I mean, like, I guess the question is, how do you... I know you say you know, but like, what do you think Rocky is?
Yeah, Rocky is basically the rise and fall of a man, I guess, and more or less over the course of six
the
movies.
The rise and fall of a man.
Yeah, but then he finds some sort of like nice.
Tell
stasis.
Me this. Do this for me. Let's
do
it.
Okay, I like this game.
You tell me what Rocky One is about.
Okay. Rocky One is about a guy who wants to fucking go the distance. He wants to get back in the ring.
Who is this guy?
I don't know. Some Italian dude. His Italian dude. This is fun. Okay, I'm into this game now.
Make it up.
Okay, no. He's an Italian guy. So Rocky Balboa.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You have been sent into the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in that situation, that time travel situation, which is like...
Yeah.
You are responsible for recreating the important cultural touchstones.
I love this.
And you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't see Rocky, but the world needs Rocky.
Yeah, I
got
to do
it. So you are tasked with making Rocky. What is it?
Well, no, here's as best as I can recall, because I want to do it. I don't want an alternate universe. I want to build our universe.
No, yeah, it has to be the same.
No, I want
it to be
the
mission.
So what happens is this guy, Rocky Balboa, he's older now. He's missed his shot at being a primo boxing star. He had some success, probably had an injury of some type that kept him from really achieving his full success early in his career. Mm. But he runs into this sort of wizened old gnome figure who takes him under his wing and gives him some nice boxing advice. And he's like, oh, I'll train with you, guy. And the guy's like,
this is awesome because this is like the fucking myth. Like, this is the Bible. This is like people, oral history being passed down through the generations, but it's Rocky.
So this gnome guy.
Because everything you're saying is wrong.
Okay, good. No, don't tell me that till I'm done.
Yeah.
The wizened old gnome figure's like, I know I don't look like much of a boxer myself, but I have good instincts and technique on training boxers. So Rocky's like, well,
what's
train
that guy's name? He should have a
doesn't,
name.
Doesn't matter.
He should have a
it's
name.
It's irrelevant.
What
he's,
is it?
Well,
though?
He's a mythic creature.
What's his name? Like, if you had to, you're fucking making it up. What's that guy's name?
I would say his name is Hamish. So Hamish the gnome boxing trainer is You're disrupting my flow here.
I'm just trying to get the details.
That's cool. It's cool. So Hamish starts training Rocky, and he has all this kind of like weird. Because Rocky has a day job. He's still a fucking schmo. So he's going out.
What's his day job?
He's a meat hanger. He hangs. Rocky's a meat hanger, and he goes out and he hangs carcasses for a living. And it's a really shitty job. This is, I should mention.
So Rocky the meat.
Well,
hanger
I should mention
this. Meets Hamish the gnome. And he's.
This is before the industrial age, basically. So there was no machines to hang meat. So you had to do it by hand. It was. He's an Italian immigrant. He's used to it because that's where prosciutto
what
comes
year
from.
Is all this happening?
Doesn't matter. Maybe 19 late 1970s, but it's in a part of New York, I guess. No, it's Philadelphia. It's set in Philadelphia, I should mention.
Very good.
But they don't have mechanized meat processing yet. This is still pre-mechanized meat processing. So what Rocky does, well, because Hamish is a very sort of sprightly, like, you know, fella who has good ideas. And he's like, why don't you train when you're on the job? So Rocky boxes meat slabs and shit. And he runs around the neighborhood. He doesn't need elliptical machines or fucking treadmills or weights. He does it all natural. He's going out and he's boxing cow carcasses. He's running up and down steps. Yeah.
Is he a straight man?
No, he's got a woman.
He's got a woman.
Yeah, whose name is Adrian. Oh, and man, Adrian. And she's not relevant to the story right now. But in that, she wants him to succeed. She's also terrified for him because he's a boxer who's probably out of his league. Listen, here's what happens. So that's all the sort of background of how he meets all the main characters.
Yeah.
But then he gets a title shot. He gets a shot. And listen, the deal here is he just has to fucking feel like he has become the man he wants to be. Like this is a journey of self-discovery and a journey towards fulfilling his own destiny. And importantly, his destiny is not necessarily to win. His destiny and his fulfillment as a man is to just fucking go all the way. He wants to go all the way. And so he didn't win the fucking fight at the end. That's the thing you have to understand about Rocky. But he fucking does win his own battle,
which is
he makes all 10 rounds. And he shouldn't, because he's but also in a metaphor way, he's tenderized his face like the meat, like he's pulverized.
That I'm not tracking. Okay, that's pretty good. That's not bad. But now let me ask you the follow-up question. In about half the time you just applied to Rocky 1, what happens in Rocky 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, so what happens is, in you forgot to mention, by the way, that we have just seen two other Stallone movies, not just Demolition Man. We saw Rambo in Rambo First Blood.
Oh, my God. Of course we did. We've
First
gotten
First
deep
Blood
into his
so
other
So don't forget that. Yeah. But a la First Blood Part 2, the third Rocky, he becomes the fourth Rocky, he becomes an American symbol. So he's fighting a Russian in the height of the Cold War, and that's Dolph Lundgren, and that's very important.
That's right.
Ivan Drago, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, yeah, that's correct.
And then in the third one, is that Carl Weathers? Is that our second one?
No. The third one is Mr. T.
Oh, shit. Okay, right. So the second one, though, is Carl Weathers, right?
Well, Apollo Creed is Carl Weathers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In one and two.
Oh, he's in the first one. I didn't know that. Oh, is that the guy he fights in the first one? Is Apollo Creed?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yes, I thought Apollo Creed came in the second one. Okay, that's important.
He's there, too.
Because Apollo Creed killed some dude at some point with a punch. That was relevant. I think it's some sort
All right,
of plot.
Well, this has been interesting.
And then Mr. T comes out as a boxer, and they're comparable heights, so you'd think that wouldn't work, but it does.
So this That's was time poorly spent, but the point is,
I think it was we don't have to do Rocky 1 through 4 now. We've done them, basically.
You got it all right. So that's why it was a waste of time.
So we're done.
You got everything right.
We're done.
By the time we get to 5, a film I have not seen, Rocky's triumphant in all ways. And so 5 was intended to be
Empire
Stallone
Strikes Back.
Stallone directed it.
Oh.
It was supposed to be the final word on Rocky, which is this guy's head is all fucking mashed up. He's kind of dumb. He has a son. It's like that kind of story. It's supposed to be it's supposed to get it. It was supposed to bring the whole series back to the roots of Rocky 1. Which is a real guy going through a real, living in the real world, trying to make the most of his life and trying to make the most of his bad situation. And so the way that they got him back to that place of vulnerability was to say he's had, I think he's had like suffered brain damage from
the last four films of abuse.
That makes sense.
And he was not a smart man to begin with.
No.
Rocky is not a smart
man. No, but he's got gumption.
He's got a heart.
Yeah.
He's got a heart and he's got two turtles. And okay, Cuff and Link.
Didn't know that. Don't like that.
Well, you don't like that?
I don't. Will you do me a favor? And just in almost bullet points, anything I need to know for Rocky V, and maybe the listener if they haven't seen him, will you just hit me the things I got wrong so we know?
I believe the idea. I mean,
the lead up. I mean,
it's a very funny series because it embraces the fantasy as if it were reality and constantly returns itself to reality. So in the way that Rambo 2 goes hyper psycho fantasy, you're giving up, I don't like that. The way that Rambo 2 goes totally gonzo, Rocky 3, 4 does that.
Right.
The
too
same
far.
Way. It gets hyperactively Cold War. It gets about, you know, American
exceptionalism.
Exceptionalism, supremacy. And Rocky 5 tries to
rein
it all back in and make him a real man again, which is the same thing Rocky Balboa does, which is the same thing Creed does.
Yeah.
So they're constantly trying to wrestle this mythological figure back to reality.
Reground him.
And so and the other thing about the Rocky series that is very interesting and is hard to explain if you haven't seen it is every film is a... Somebody put out this theory that I thought was fascinating because it was so accurate, which is that every movie attempts to account for and correct the failings of the previous film.
That's interesting.
So Rocky 1 comes out.
Oh, I should mention Adrian dies. Go on.
Eventually she does.
It's important that you guys know that.
Rocky 1 is a huge triumph, but Rocky 2 says, let's remake Rocky 1, but he wins. It's important. Rocky 3, you know, again, it's him sort of fighting a sort of more crazy battle, you know, like Apollo Creed is dead by this point. Like Mr. T kills Apollo Creed or something. And so he has to defeat him for that. And 4 is essentially a remake of 3, except it's now extrapolated into global proportions. Mm. And then Rocky 5 tries to ground him as a real man, fails. And Rocky Balboa comes along and tries to account for that. And so... It's like the evens are always trying to improve upon the odds.
I like that.
And so 5 is the first try at trying to rehab him as a human man.
And you think it's a failure.
Well, I've never seen it, but I assume so because Rocky Balboa is really good. And it redoes that story in a certain way and accomplishes it.
Is there a villain in this movie?
If I recall correctly, Rocky's not even the guy fighting.
Like a coach or something?
He might be like trying to replace the Hamish, which is actually Mickey.
That's what I meant.
Mickey.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm just, this is a dumb way to spend our time because I'm just making it up. I've never seen the film, so I don't
know. Well, that's
really
why it was important that was, I'm happy you gave us that sort of synopsis in terms of the bullet points. Everything else I got right, so that's good. And then we'll just understand that's the lead in to Rocky V,
and
which we'll watch, and then we'll explain and we'll talk about how bad it is.
On the other side. And the point is that, you know, this is the closest to. These films seem to constantly parallel Stallone's career in the sense that it's his story. Rocky is the story of Sylvester Stallone.
More so than Rambo.
Yes. Far more so.
I just want to give a brief Stallone anecdote that one of his first credited roles was in a party at Kitty and Studs, which is a porno. And he does not engage in intercourse but does get a blowjob.
In which I believe he was referred to as the Italian
Stallone. Yes, that's correct. So. All right, so we'll be back with Rocky V.
Come on, it's not worth it.
Adrian is worth it. He's just confused.
You don't see what's happening.
He twists around my dog.
No,
I see
what's happening. Come on, it's you. It's not him. You can't live backwards. Come on, you can't turn back the clocks. We live now. We live here.
Hey, Adrian, I know where we live. What do you think? I'm stupid. I'm not as dumb as you think I am. You know, you don't think I can smell it? I see where we are. Adrian, I don't want this no more. I want something good for the family. I don't want this. I don't want this. I mean, did I come back here and get my brains beat out for these guys and say, hey, there goes Balboa. That's just another bump in the neighborhood. I didn't want this.
No, come on. Nobody says that.
I'm saying it, Adrian. I'm saying this. When that kid was in the ring, you know what I was doing? I was winning. When he was winning, I was winning.
You were winning?
Yeah, it was. It was my last chance at getting some respect for us. Do you know
Ahmad,
that?
I respect it's gone, you.
It's gone. You can't respect me.
Yes,
I respect
you.
No, you can't do it. I'm telling you that.
All those beatings you took in the ring, I took them with you. I know how you feel. I know when somebody like Tommy comes along, you feel alive. But he's not you. He doesn't have your heart. All those fighters you beat him with heart, not muscle. That's what Mickey knew. That's why you and Mickey were special. But Mickey's dead. If there's something you want to pass on to your son. For God's sakes, your son is lost.
If you would have told me that you were going to show me tonight a parody, a Rocky parody, and then put this on, I would have believed that that was a sincere promise that you'd made.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure, man. I mean, that's one way to say it. I almost said to you, let's say it's about an hour and 40-minute movie.
Mm.
And at about the hour mark,
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to say to Travis, I can't record this episode.
I almost pitched you and didn't say it because I was nervous that you might say yes. I wanted to stop it, do like a 20-minute interstitial, like, how we doing so far podcast,
wow,
check-in, and then go back and finish it. That was my idea.
Well, the only reason I didn't say that to you, because I was like, I think I'm kind of tired, and then I was like, I think I might need time. But then what I realized, especially during the last 10 minutes of the film, I was like, there's not enough time in the world.
Yeah.
I'll never live long enough to have enough time to think about this to where I can talk about it coherently. So might as well get the incoherence out of the way. I don't know where to begin. I don't know. I mean, I know things that I was thinking and things I was feeling, but it's not a movie like any other movie I've seen.
You know, it's interesting. It's especially heartbreaking sometimes to see a movie. I would argue that sometimes has good instincts. Like, some of the instincts are okay. And then the execution is just like, well, fuck it.
Yeah, but when it's not fuck it, it's when I think that, I'm like, I mean, here's what the movie is.
Kalen's rubbing his eyes beneath his glasses,
exhausting.
Like he's just,
it's fucking
just
exhausting.
Doesn't even want to do this.
I want to do it.
By the way, this is my first Rocky I ever saw.
Yeah,
my
what
first
a
Rocky.
Shame. What a shame for you.
Rocky, Sylvester Stallone's doing a John Travolta impression.
Here's the thing, it's not gonna John Travolta impression. I mean, he
in Greece when,
he,
when he's
guy.
No, but when he's like, you know, Sandy.
I mean, they come from the same stock, perhaps. But so here's what it is. Sylvester Stallone is a superstar, is a movie star, and he has gotten to the point with Rocky where you can't go any bigger. You can't get any higher.
He beat Russia.
He fucking legitimized America in the 80s for all time.
Yep.
He tried with Rambo 2, and he did it with Rocky 4. And so he thinks, this is what the movie is. He thinks to himself, it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel true. It doesn't feel real. I feel I've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I have corrupted a true character with spectacle and a strange kind of political intent and all this. And so I have to tear him down to the roots and legitimize him from the ground up. And in doing so, I will tear myself and my persona and movie star icon down also. And I will build that back up just the way I built Rocky, the first film.
From the streets.
And I'm going to get the same director who did Rocky 1. I was wrong about that earlier. What I was mistaking is it's John Avildsen who did Rocky 1 back to do Rocky 5. And I'm going to write it myself, and I'm going to tell a truer human story about Rocky. And in the end, I'm going to be even fucking greater. And then... But that's all. That idea is all he had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ego-driven idea of humility. And the movie betrays that dishonesty at every single step. And it's very strange to watch somebody desperately try to humble themselves, but never really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And never really know how to do it. And to feel lost in that process. And to then drag his real son into it in order to try to do some kind of bizarre parallel about, like,
him being a movie star and trying to make amends with his son. And it just goes all so horribly wrong. It's got lunacy in the filmmaking.
Well, yeah.
It's just crazy.
We can get into that. Just in terms of all that, I think isn't totally correct. And what the movie tries to hang its hat on is fatherhood and sort of growing up and how do you segue into the next generation? And is it more important to be a father to your son or is it more important to mentor those? And what's the conflict between those things? And, you know, watching Rocky as a character struggle with these various things is, I guess, supposedly interesting. But my question to you, based on what you just said, at the end of the film, spoiler alert, Rocky basically beats down the prodigal son who abandoned him and never came back. I guess the non-prodigal son. Did he feel like threatened by the next generation of movie stars? Is that part of this at all? Or is it just the latent inherent idea of the father
metaphor? What's amazing, and now I said it and it probably came off very convoluted and confused because I didn't know exactly what I was talking about when I said that. Because I hadn't seen this film, is my point. When I said that, you know, each sort of Rocky sequel is kind of a remake or a recalibration of what the previous film had attempted to do.
You had seen Rocky Balboa, though.
Yes. Okay. And so if Rocky Balboa is the remake of this film, which it is, it still has all the son, father-son issues. He still has to rehabilitate himself. He's still, but the difference is it's 15, 20 years after this.
Right.
And so by then, he was very believably a has-been. And this movie just, it tries to accelerate as a persona to that point when it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like the beginning of the film, the opening credits are the end of Rocky IV. And they're trying to recalibrate our point of view on the end of Rocky IV. To say this was a brutal, brain-damaging event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his technique, which is not a bad idea. It's kind of an interesting idea to try to ground it back into reality. Is this what you saw as a kind of clash of superheroic titans of country turns back into a human drama about a guy getting his brains beaten out by a giant Russian? Okay, that's pretty cool. But then you have to suffer through 15 minutes of, like, he's brain damaged.
Honest question.
And then he's not.
This is going to sound like I'm joking, and I'm being very sincere. So, after the fight...
Whereas what Rocky Balboa does is very legitimately say he's old.
Yeah.
He's
an old guy. Which is great, and that makes total
sense. That's the same, and it's the same exact idea. It's just real.
I haven't seen it at Rocky, so I'm not quite clear on this, but right after the fight, he gets off the plane to come back home, and he's very... chummy and very like making like knock jokes and being goofy and pulling a lot of things out of people's ears pretty constantly, and his son goes to
what's wrong
the buddy, what's wrong, he's acting weird, is the idea that the brain damage here's my question, is the idea that he's overcompensating because he's weak and scared, or is the idea that the brain damage is making him goofy?
No idea. I would guess the latter, but it's
such a weird idea. I couldn't get my head around what they were trying to say.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Because Rocky's always... his thing is he's a dumb guy.
Yeah, like, but is he a goofy thing. Guy or a dumb
he's
guy?
He's a little goofy.
Okay.
He's
like, a little fun. Goofy. Like, I don't know. I'm doing things.
That's what he's like.
Does he pull stuff out of ears in other movies? Or is this...
I don't remember specifically that. But that's a Rocky kind of thing, you know, basically. Mm. I mean, he is a earnest, stupid dude. That's the whole story of Rocky. And this movie, what I found odd about his son saying that is... he is Sylvester Stallone doing a Rocky impression. And that's, it feels very...
his son or him?
No, him. Okay. Sylvester Stallone's doing an impression of himself playing Rocky in this movie.
Yeah, right.
In a really hyperactive, like really dumb guy way, but never in a way that's legit. Like you've seen Creed.
Yeah.
He is very, in that film, very natural in the skin of this character.
I agree.
And this film, he is deeply unnatural.
That's what I very much meant when I said at the beginning, it feels like a parody at parts. It feels like someone's making a joke about what I have understood Rocky to be. and sort of like doing caricatures of those characters.
And
even Talia Shire, who I respect as an actress, she's playing a thing.
She's horrible.
It's really weird.
Like, she's absolutely horrible.
And she's shot very confusingly. Every time she goes to say an emotional, meaningful line, which is basically all she's given to do in this film.
That's it. She's screaming the entire movie, desperately emoting.
Yeah, yeah. But every time she does it, the camera zooms in to give her a nice close-up for it. And it's very strange and very jarring.
It's also, I don't know how to say this, but it's the movie is hyperactive at all times. Mm-hmm. It is frantic. It's like, you would say, like, I guess, it feels like it's like drenched in flop sweat or something, but it's like so active in a bad way where there's no natural human behavior in the whole film because it's constantly cutting. They're saying their lines really fast. Mm-hmm. Like the scenes are really, really ramped up. Like it feels often like it's like I said, during the film, it feels like a trailer for itself. Or like it's on sort of like 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
Like it's just too fucking fast.
Like that's how you listen to podcasts in the car.
Yeah.
The
movie
just
like.
Lets you get through it.
I wonder if we accidentally watched it at like 1.5 speed.
It's a 3-hour film.
By the time he gets to the ending, this final fight is so psychotic. Like
psychotic. He's
I've never
in
seen
no way exaggerating.
Like that.
No, it same. I couldn't believe what was happening.
I stared at it very stunned. Like I was amazed in a certain way. But I don't know how a human being puts that together.
I'm just trying to piece out how this happened. Is part of it maybe, because there's like a weird sort of mildly hip-hoppy soundtrack that feels incongruous to what I would assume the first couple Rockies would be.
Right.
And there's like new cutting styles and new sort of visuals happening. Are they trying to introduce Rocky to a new generation?
Well, you know what I saw? And I don't know what this is, and I don't know what it means, and I can't even be very specific about it. I kind of want to check
that,
it out.
With that introduction,
yeah,
please
get ready
tell
for this
me.
Theory.
Yeah, can't wait.
They specify in the end credits a like system of editing that I have never seen in my life.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Because whatever system, I'm going to find it because I want to know what the hell this thing is. Because my theory is something about the editing was really weird.
It seemed like it was trying to be cool.
Yes, it seemed like it was trying to be contemporary
and
fresh. But it was just way off. And I don't know if that's the effect of an old guy director, like a dude who's just passed his prime, plus Stallone. It feels like Stallone wrote this thing in a week.
Yeah. While you're doing that, so this is, you guys, listeners may know this. This is new to me. The lead actor, secondary lead actor in this movie, who plays a character named Tommy Gunn, is a real famous boxer named Tommy Morrison.
Can you specify to them what the character's actual name is?
Tommy.
Just walk them through.
Well,
this?
You know, every boxer has a sort of moniker, like Iron Mike Tyson or whatever. Tommy Gunn sounds like a moniker because it's actually
you meet him and you're like, oh, cool, this guy's already self-applied
a fake boxer guy
name.
But then they reference his dad and stuff, and you realize his family's last name is Gunn, and you're like, oh, that's maybe it's not a maybe Tommy then is a nickname. But then when he becomes famous as a boxer, which happens in a weird montage that lasts about 25 minutes, they call him Tommy the Machine Gunn.
Tommy the Machine Gunn.
Tommy the Machine Gunn, which...
So he's gifted
the perfect boxing name.
An extraordinary boxing name.
Tommy Gunn. Tommy Gunn.
And then somebody, I guess, is it maybe even a comment that they're like, no...
That's too self-aware. No.
Tommy the Machine.
Yeah.
Machine.
He's a
gun.
Machine gun. Well, or maybe he's good now. So he went because the Tommy gun's kind of an old school, you know, and a machine gun's very futuristic. So maybe it's a commentary that he's no longer Rocky old guy. He's young machine gun guy. That could be it. Actually,
I probably solved
it. Yeah.
All right. Here. All right. So it says in big letters with a logo, edited on Touch Vision. So I'm gonna look this up because I fucking want to know what's up.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. I mean, the ending was edited on something I've never seen before. The plot, while he's looking this up, roughly, is and feel free to jump in. It's a little convoluted, but they want to depower Rocky. Rocky's on top of the world. He just beat Ivan Drago, and he has all this money. And he comes home while he was in Russia for this fight, which took all of, I assume, 2 or 3 months. They've signed over accidentally power of attorney to somebody who took all their money. In ways that they just really blast through and gloss over. And so Rocky has to sell all of the stuff and move out of his house. He's lost all his money through no fault of his own, but someone has robbed him. No one seems to have any idea how to fix this besides you got to move into the hood. So He has to go back to his streets, to get back to his roots, and they move into a really shitty house. Adrian gets a job at a pet store, which I assume is from Rocky One, I'm guessing. You know what's weird, by the way, while I'm doing this? It's weird to see a movie have nostalgia for itself when you don't know what it's referencing. I kept thinking, like, oh, I bet you this is a fucking thing that fans know, and this is a callback, but I don't have the nostalgia touchstone.
That must have been so surreal for you.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, oh, I know I'm supposed to have nostalgia for this scene or this thing or this building, and I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. So he's poor and has to sort of get back to it, and he's thinking about, do I take another fight? They have a Don King knockoff character who's trying to get him to fight again for some extra money, and it's this whole thing, and this goes back and forth about 45 minutes where Talia Shire's like, oh, don't fight, I love you, and he's like, I gotta fight, I gotta get this money. And then this kid comes up named Tommy Gunn, who's like, hey, I want to be a fighter. Will you manage me? And he's like, I don't manage people, but of course he does. And basically through very strange, just bullshit movie stuff, makes him into a great fighter. They just cut around all this stuff and he becomes a fighter. And then of course, when he's about to get his title shot, he goes to sign with the Don King guy and then turns against, Rocky. And, Gail, you have to pick up in terms of, like, the idea that Sylvester Stallone says is that you can't get the title bout now, no one will respect you. You got to do it the right way and not get sucked in. The Don King guy gives him the title fight. But then he's the fucking world heavyweight champion. But people boo him because he didn't do it the right way.
Please don't ask me. I have no fucking idea.
It's really confusing.
It's like they cut out huge sections of the film.
I'm legitimately confused about. So he beats the fucking world heavyweight champion, but that guy never beat Rocky, so it's a bullshit fight. But they knew that going in to watch the fight,
and therefore they boo the guy who beats him. Like I don't. And then there's this insane post fight press conference where all the reporters are badgering the new heavyweight champion.
He just beat the shit out of this guy who was the world heavyweight champion. Disputed, but still world heavyweight champion. And they're like, you're a shitty fighter. You didn't beat Rocky.
Why don't you go fight some real fighters?
And he's like, I just beat this guy. What are you talking about?
I mean, we didn't see. The thing is, the movie seems to have cut out or never bothered to depict how this guy got the title in the first place. I mean, how did he? They just gave. I don't understand.
No one knows.
But the movie is very bizarre because you only find. You're just watching this shit happen, and you're like, what is going on?
It's weird.
And then it post-explains it in a totally unsatisfying, bizarre way.
I don't want to say that the beat here is right. The beat basically is Rocky was doing it the street way where he'd get the respect of the fans, which because he's got the people's heart and the people's ear, and then Tommy Gunn gets swayed in by money and gets – which is fine. The broad strokes of that make certain sense to me. But then the idea that the fans are like, you cheated, but he didn't. He never cheated. He's 26-0 or something.
He worked his way up,
fought a bunch of fights, got his title shot, won the title, and all of a sudden he's an outcast because the fans don't like him because he didn't beat Rocky.
Right. It's it's trying to emotionally put you in the place that you're supposed to be, but it does it just in an incoherent sort of way.
Yeah. What's the touch vision?
All right, so here's the deal, folks. This is it's about to get a little boring.
Good.
So look out. Of course.
I mean,
what touch vision is, as far as I can tell after 2 minutes of research, is one of the very first non-linear editing systems, which is what Final Cut Pro is.
Right.
And it was like they would transfer the film to VHS. Travis is literally yawning.
I put my mic down.
Which is, by the way, the ninth time he's done that during this podcast.
But here's the thing.
As I've been trying to keep contact and keep on track, he's yawning in my fucking face.
You just said, get ready to be bored. And it's like the worst lead. At least
I said it to the viewers, not to you.
Listeners.
I've just begun looking at this boring rant.
No. Oh,
you
God.
Can't yawn yet. All right. Just give me a fucking second.
All right, I'm sorry.
So they transferred film to VHS. And they're editing on from VCR to VCR using literally a touch screen system TV. Sounds cool.
Wait, you touch the TV?
I guess. That seems to be what it says. Or touch the system, whatever the computer system
it's
is.
Probably it's probably buttons.
I mean, that's why it's called touch vision.
Yeah,
I assume.
I can't imagine they have touch screen TVs at this point.
Touch vision software allowed directors to cut their 35mm film on videotape using VCRs into touch screen controlled computer.
Touch screen. That sounds like a branded idea in the computer.
Fine.
It doesn't matter.
You're making this more boring than it needs to be.
I'm trying to stay awake.
The point is, I believe that in this transition from film editing, linear film editing on editing bays and, 35 to 35, making dupe negatives or whatever, the reason this is interesting to me is I've seen this happen.
I know how it is. I've done a lot of editing on Final Cut and Nonlinear, and I've never cut actual film, of course, because I'm, you know, just that
a kid,
doesn't exist
just
anymore.
A boy,
just a little boy. And but I've seen people fall into the trap of editing things too fast, and a product, because of something about the nonlinear system, encourages speed and rapidity. It's music video style. He's yawning again. I cannot fucking do this. You cannot do this. It was like 60 seconds since you just yawned before. This is so stupid.
I tried so hard that time. But you're talking about linear editing systems. And here's the thing. I'm honestly interested by this idea because I think that's all right. It feels like they cut it too quickly. But then I started thinking while you were saying that. I started thinking, I can't imagine that this movie is cut well that it's any better. It's just less weird.
Yeah, it would be
the
less
plot
weird.
Still
it
sucks. The dialogue still sucks. No, the performances still suck.
It would be better. It would.
And like,
would,
in what discernible way? Like, you think the story would make more sense?
They would feel like human beings. They would feel like maybe true. There's none of these scenes could have possibly been shot the way that they have been cut.
Yeah, okay.
There's no way. Living in those scenes, it would just be a different experience.
So it might just feel better, like feel more.
It would feel like normal,
like, real,
like reality. Real I mean, person. I'm literally, think about this. This is when MTV is kicking into gear. Mm. They're figuring out new ways to edit music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And this has the feeling of a film caught in a new zeitgeisty kind of style that is not appropriate and does not fit. And I believe my theory, which I can't find any, you know, actual corroboration for this online. I'm just expositing it right now, is that led to this movie being as bad as it is.
I
as
buy it.
Fucked up and confused.
I don't need you to confirm it. I feel like it's true. I'll confirm it. That feels like the right theory. But I
this
but
is
I,
new ground, people. Yeah, this is a big new theory that I've
that's Kalen. This is Kalen desperately trying to stay
awake.
I want to know what else
was cut on Touch Vision.
I know what you're doing. You're just trying to stay awake right now. I
just can't believe there's a pseudo explanation for something I felt watching this movie. Like, what the fuck? Oh, there's some bullshit new editing system that nobody knows how to use.
I just
that's the answer.
Do you think, here's an honest question, do you think Sylvester Stallone's performance in this film is dramatically aided by a better cut? And I mean dramatically. Do you think it becomes a pretty good performance?
No.
Okay. What about Talia Shire?
No.
What about anyone else in the film?
Here's the thing. It would not be a good film, but it would be much more what he wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It would be much closer to what he wanted it to be, which is a return to reality.
I don't mind the idea is that he takes on this he starts managing. Sorry, I cut myself off. He starts managing this kid, Tommy Gunn, and then his own son has to go to a rough and tumble school because they moved back to this shitty neighborhood. And they've already set up all your signposts. Like, he tells his kid, I'm glad I can give you the things I didn't have. It makes me proud as a father to be able to give you things I didn't have so you don't have to go through the shit I went through. And his kid's like, oh, I love you, Dad. And he's like, cool, I love you, son. And then he has to put his kid back in the same fucking shithole school he went to, the same public school, where they have to literally enter the school through a hole in a fence for some fucking reason. And so all those parts are fine. Like, they set up those nice things. His kid gets his ass kicked the first day, gets his coat stolen. And of course he comes home to tell his dad, but his dad has no time for him. His dad is training Tommy Gunn, and his son needs his dad to teach him how to be a boxer, to fight back with his kids at school. But his dad's too busy training someone else instead of his son. So, and therein lies the conflict of the film in certain ways. And they have to sort of like learn how to be a dad, and his other son betrays him, and he has to beat the shit out of him in an alleyway in front of about 50 screaming bar fans. There it is.
I wasn't listening because I was reading about Touch Vision.
No, I did it. It's fine.
So,
oh, also, then his son teaches himself how to box in a weird side montage from the main training montage, and his son goes and beats up the bully, takes his coat back in front of all the kids, becomes friends with those kids, oddly, which is weird because they're fucking assholes, and goes to tell his dad, I beat up these kids and got my coat back, you should be proud of me, and his dad's like, good job, I'm training this other guy, fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that's really sad about this film is Sage Stallone, who plays his son, who is his son, is dead. He died of a drug overdose.
Really? I think he's good.
He's all right.
No, compared to the rest of the people in this movie, I think he's good.
Maybe he's all right for a kid, but I felt very bad for him because I was like, man, I mean, I don't know. Look, I know there's bad blood between Sage and Sylvester Stallone in their life.
How old was he when he died of a drug overdose?
Not old. I mean, like,
teens?
No. 30s?
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe late 20s or something like that. Maybe 30. Yeah, he must have been early 30s or something like that. And I know that it just made me feel very uncomfortable. This is a maybe you could say this about the whole Rocky series, but this is a vanity project at its worst. And again, there's something very bizarre about a established super movie star who you know is a super movie star who you've watched grow. I mean, literally in this series and in the Rambo series, you've seen him become larger than life, superhero guy, rich guy, super titan, you know, guy. And here to see him try to falsely force himself back into where he began, a place of humility, is very awkward. And I felt really weird watching his son in that position, because the story he's telling is a father who is essentially distracted by the glory of his career and the other opportunities for glory, and neglecting his child. And I'm like, okay, Sylvester Stallone wrote this. He wrote this about a son who's exactly the age of his son. He cast his son, and he's trying to do this recalibration of his character. And I'm just going to go ahead and assume his life on some level. Sylvester Stallone's a pretty, he tries to be an earnest guy. He tries to be an honest, sincere guy. And I just didn't like it. I didn't like watching it. And I didn't like watching it because it was so fake. And it was just so badly, grossly, self-exploitatively done. Self-mythologizing. And then I also was sad thinking about, well, that didn't go so well.
That is sad. There's some idea here too that his son is a intellectual artist type in the film, and that his dad's a dumb bruiser guy from the streets, doesn't really know how to relate to his kid, who uses big words sometimes that are obviously screenwrittenly awkward. And the way they show you that the kid is good at drawing is he draws a picture of Sylvester Stallone fishing, which is weird. But then he also draws a picture of his French teacher's boobs, and that's how you know he's a good artist. And Sylvester Stallone bonds with him over that picture like five times as much screen time as the actual drawing. But the idea, I guess, is that he's a smart, artsy kid, right?
That's, I guess so. It's
like
just
think back to like the details. I think that's what they were going for.
Well, I would go even further to say that he's probably pulling that from reality. He's probably pulling that from life. His son was probably a different kind of a kid than he was. You know, he was a rich, you know, growing up rich, which I'm sure Sylvester Stallone did not. And he was more artistically inclined than his father maybe expected. And I think in some ways the instinct, like you said earlier, the instinct is almost honorable. He's just incapable of doing it and being a movie star.
That's right. There's a lot of, I think, decent, I mean, they're not unique necessarily, but there's fine instincts in the film in terms of the storytelling. They're not groundbreaking, but they roughly track to something you can understand and go, I know what you're going for. I know what emotional beat this
should
be.
I know what you want to feel and what you want us to feel, but you cannot force those feelings. And it's very interesting to think, I would really like to watch Rocky Balboa again, and maybe Creed, although I think that would be less related to this, to see him revisit so many of these ideas when he actually had the experience to perhaps project a version of it. I mean, in Rocky Balboa, he's not so crass to say he's fucking living in a hovel again, which is just inexplicable in this film.
It takes, I'm not joking, 3 minutes of screen time, and then all of a sudden he's living in a fucking hostel.
Crazy mansion.
Yeah.
And the next scene, he's literally wearing his old clothes from Rocky One, which is
weird.
Odd. And he's moving into the shittiest little Philadelphia house you've ever seen. And it's like, this is all for some convoluted reason, like his investment banker or something lost all his money.
Yeah. His power of attorney.
So good. Now we get to, so we just have immediately erased his life.
It really is the him being like, just go with me on this. Don't worry about it. There's some financial boring shit we'll cut out of here.
Again, it's the martyr fantasy. It's the like, man, I'm a rich guy. What if I got poor?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't fucking relate to that. Like, nobody wants to watch you fantasize about your own non-poverty.
Yeah,
like,
and could you fucking weirdo? And could you come back from that?
Yeah.
Two questions. One, at the end of the film, he, you know, the boxing promoter's whole goal, the Don King's guy's whole goal, is to get a fight between Rocky Balboa and his protege. Good ratings, good money. It's going to be great for everybody. And then he says, you got to goad Rocky into getting a fight, Tommy Gunn. And so Tommy Gunn goes in with some news cameras behind him and tries to challenge Rocky Balboa to a fight. He's just manipulated. And then were you surprised? The answer's probably no. But were you surprised, because I was, when that actually led to a climactic movie-ending street fight?
Yes, I didn't see it. I didn't think it would go that way.
Same. I was surprised by that. I did not expect the movie to do that, because the movie tells us basically that the honorable thing here is for Sylvester Stallone to learn to be a father and a grown-up, which means walking away and, you know, putting his ego away from that and letting the kid have his thing. That's the father thing. And then, you know, Tommy goes and lives his own life. He's now an adult. And then Sylvester Stallone goes to be a father to his son. But instead, there's this fucking 7-minute street fight.
Again, one of the craziest fights I've ever seen.
But weird. Like, I don't know why that happened.
Well,
that
he just pounds Tommy Gunn into the pavement. Did the
studio say you have to have a fight at the end of a Rocky movie? What happened?
I don't know that anybody said that, but it felt like that was a self-imposed rule. Like, yeah, we're going to have a fight. I mean, he tried to justify it by doing it out of the ring. This is for honor. This is for credibility.
There's some really weird, like, capoeira moves that Stallone does are certainly not boxing moves.
Yeah, he kind of martial arts him. I mean, it's a street fight. It's a dirty street fight. And then he fucking sucker punches Don King as hard as a boxer possibly can. You know,
in the stomach.
Like,
it's dumb. Also, I just have to get this in because I said it to Kaylin during the movie. Because it's indicative of some of the screenwriting ideas or jokes in this film. And also supports Kaylin's idea that this is maybe 17, 18 drafts away from a final draft of a script. But at one point,
just 17 years away.
Yeah, at one point, the Don King guy says, "You know, maybe we should get Adrian in the ring because she's the one who's got the cojones in the relationship."
Oh, right.
And you're like, "Okay, that's a weird line." And you kind of clock it as a weird line, but fine. And then later, maybe like 10 minutes later, in the boxing gym, Sylvester Stallone turns to his friend and goes, "What's cojones?" And I looked at Kaylin and I said, "Did he?" He's only heard this said aloud, but somehow mispronounced it based on the way it's written. And Kellen goes, "Yes, that's what just happened."
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's like three jokes in a row about cojones and Stallone mispronouncing the word cojones. It's a really confusing decision on every level.
I mean, there's a part of me that I watched this and I'll be honest with you, I was fairly entertained by its craziness and its badness, but and by the egomania of it. And that scene. And there were others that were similar, although that's the best example I can think of right now, that were like letting you see behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Sylvester Stallone is just the writer.
Yeah.
And he's literally making writing jokes and he doesn't know the difference. And that's who this guy is that I'm watching right now. Talk about the fact that he's writing this movie.
It's a glimpse behind the veil. That's right. That's exactly right.
But it's just like, it's all just very meta and weird and awkward.
Angela was right about this movie. Having not seen any other Rocky film, I feel like this has to be, for this to have been a cultural phenomenon, this can't be what Rocky is.
At the very, I can't guarantee you it's the worst, but it has to be the least successful. I mean, everyone hates it, and it's obvious why, because it was edited on TouchVision. It's very clear.
That's the problem.
I'm continuing to research TouchVision.
Yeah,
and
great.
It's,
I'm going to sit over here and keep yawning.
It's something
then.
That they were using for B movies in the late 80s.
It's a cool idea for editing. I mean, Final Cut's a
lovely system. It's an unrefined. It's like it's the movie. I'm comfortable saying it's almost experimental because you see somebody with you see someone who now suddenly has every option, and they've watched maybe 200 options and lost all objectivity.
Yeah,
and the movie is just kind of a random assembly of fast images.
I also bet that they were pushing a release date or something, and they just had to crank this out.
Maybe.
Oh, Hamish the Gnome has a fucking good flashback scene, like a black and white old scene.
Oh God,
that was cool.
So fucking sanctimonious and melodramatic.
Yeah, it was. Lots of single sort
it's
of Denzel
such a
tears.
Goopy fucking movie, guys. It's just Sylvester Stallone just dripping all over himself. Like, it is. That's what
Italian
it's like.
Stallion. We've gone on a tear here, Kaylin. The last, I feel like the last five
I
or six
like,
episodes.
I like Sylvester. You know what I was thinking about this? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that we've gone on a tear of recommending that people watch movies. I can't remember the last movie we said don't watch. So just want to put that out there for the end of this podcast to consider.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
this could be groundbreaking.
Make up your own mind. It sucks for sure. But it's weird.
I don't think it's fun to watch. What were you saying?
I was just going to say that, you know, I like Sylvester Stallone and I like him as a persona and I think he's very a unique and very interesting movie star, even through his all his ups and then inevitably his downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he always makes something out of his downs, and sometimes it's crass and vile, and I'm thinking of the Expendables films or whatever, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's artistically very highly legitimate, and he turns in killer Oscar-nominated performances. He's just a very odd guy, and I don't know what exactly the muse is that he's chasing, but I don't know of another movie star like him. And on that level, as a piece of that movie star's story, hey, this is pretty essential. I mean, it's telling.
You know what he might be? I mean, I know the original script of Rocky went through lots and lots of revisions, and he worked on it for a long time trying to get it to a good spot. But he strikes me as someone who is extraordinarily empathetically emotional and is a great piece of rock to carve a great statue from. But he needs somebody with him, I think, to rein him in and sculpt him in the right direction, because I like his vulnerability and I like his eagerness to sort of jump in and fucking play ball. Like, you can tell this guy is down to play ball, but no one's telling him the right rules of the game.
That's totally right. And that's one thing I'll say in this movie's defense is he never seems checked out. No. He's giving it everything.
But he's not playing the right game. No. Like, it's a weird game he's playing.
He's coming from the wrong place. But he doesn't have somebody to tell him otherwise.
Yeah, but I can see why Rocky would be good if he was honed correctly or produced correctly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times you hear songs, I've mentioned this analogy before, but it feels relevant here, that if you listen to the Seal's first album, the song Crazy is awesome, and then every other song is like a vague, weird, goopy facsimile of that one song, and none of them are any good. But you see all the elements in those other songs that make Crazy great. And for that, for some reason, in that one song, it congeals into something really awesome.
Yeah.
And that feels like this here. There's elements here that I find appealing. There's earnestness I find appealing. He's going for it. There's comically, you know, MMA, UFC, World Wrestling Federation type moves in this boxing ring. Like, so many people fly across the ring from getting punched in this movie in the montages. It's ridiculous. I can't imagine. I've seen boxing. It is not like that. That is not how boxing looks.
Yeah. He doesn't know how it looks anymore, though, man. Like, that's the other thing. This movie is lost because he's still Rocky IV trying to make Rocky Balboa. I guess that's the only way to put it. I mean, I know I've said other versions of this over and over again, but that's how this movie feels. Is like, no, you're not actually this person, and you can't force your way into being this person, and that's hard to watch. But very, very interesting. Very interesting.
I give it a leave it on the shelf. What's our thing? I go throw it in the garbage can. But I don't know what the things are.
Well, if you're going to watch the Rockies, you have to watch it. If the Rockies are the story of Sylvester Stallone, you have to watch it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can't you watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 6?
No.
Okay.
No, because you'd miss a very important period there where Rocky shut down. This movie shut down Rocky. It broke Rocky because it was so bad and didn't work.
Yeah.
And it crazily, this movie put him into the underdog, started him on the path to the underdog position that he needed to be in.
What if that was the whole plan? What if that was the whole fucking plan? Maybe he's smarter than we give him credit for. He's like, I'm going to make a fucking tank bomb.
He knows it. He knows. Eventually, he'll figure out the opportunity. He knows what the opportunity is.
His instincts are there somewhere. As a non-Rocky sort of purist, I would say don't watch it. I didn't hate my life tonight. I thought it was fine, but I think there's better films. And certainly in our bag, there's better films. There's better movies to be watched.
Why don't you pick one?
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to pick a better movie.
Let's see if you can. Let's see if you can pick a better movie than Rocky V. Mm-hmm. And hey, by the way, I'm going to say, you know, we're pulling into the, I think it's kind of the home stretch. I mean, we got like 30 to go.
Don't get maudlin yet, man. Come on.
I'm not getting maudlin. I'm just saying we got to use our time well.
Okay, well.
So what are we doing?
We're going to start using our time well. Oh, I'm so sorry. With another weird reboot sort of remake, next week on Does Your Favorite Movie Suck, we're going to be watching the next Karate Kid.
Fuck me.
That's
God damn it.
It's unfortunate.
Can we call Mulligans? Do we have to watch the next Karate Kid?
I've never seen it. Let's pull a second one.
It's funny you just
let
just,
me just
like
see.
Just do
Let's
it
just
over.
See what it would be.
Let's just see. Just do it over. Just do it over in case we want to cut all that shit out. Maybe I'll leave all this in. Just do it over. What are we watching
next
week?
We're getting lazy in our backstretch, which I really like.
I just want to use our time well.
Look, next week.
The next Karate Kid is not, that's like, that shouldn't have been fucking in there. What did you pull? Wait, what is it?
It's Halloween 5. Okay, let me just pull one more.
God damn it.
Guys, it's tired. We're tired right now.
What have we done?
I know, hold on.
What have we done?
All right.
I never listen. Everyone tells us the bag is too full.
Well, the bag is too full. Okay, so listen. We're going to watch one of these three films. And Kaylin, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge us because I don't like to play fast and loose with the rules. Ever since you fucked me on First Blood Part 2,
you
fucked me because you know it was a real poll and you acted like it wasn't.
I didn't act like anything.
You fucking liar.
I was there right there with you.
Yeah, and you acted like
when you winked it up and you were like, I'm going to pull this right now. And then.
Well, because you're doubling down now, I'm going to. Otherwise, I'd play fast and loose. I haven't done it since because I feel like.
Since.
Well, because here's how it goes. The third movie I pulled is would be fun. I think it'd be fun.
What is it?
Austin Powers 2, The Spy Shack.
Oh, Jesus
I know
Christ.
It's not good, but we have Halloween
good
5.
Christ.
Austin Powers 2, Spy Shack, me and the next Karate Kid. I'm going to challenge us to watch two of those.
Two of them?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
In one episode?
I don't know yet. I don't know if it should be two or if in one episode or if it should be, you know.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares, man. Nobody cares what we do.
Are we falling apart in the home stretch? Like,
no,
I just
it's time.
Feel like
this
it's
happens.
Tired.
This fucking happens sometimes. It may be because of what night it is. It may be because we just watched Rocky V. But I, nobody cares. We can do whatever we want. Can I try? Can I just pull one?
Fuck yeah, pull three. You pull three too. You pull three.
All right, I love
and then
this.
Let's just see what's
I love
going
this.
On.
All right, I love this.
Off the rails tonight. All right, good.
I've got one.
So my shitty movies. Just to recap, the next Karate Kid starring Hilary Swank.
Jesus
Hilary
Christ.
In five.
This bag five. Is a fucking nightmare.
Austin Powers 2. You pulled a fucking great movie, you jerk.
I'm pulling three.
Yeah, but one of those is awesome. I can see it.
Ugh.
And two are bad.
Oh my god. All right, so.
What is this one? Hold
fuck.
On.
Oh, wait,
what is
Jesus.
This? I can't see it.
The Outsiders.
Okay.
So we have The Outsiders.
Well, we pulled one good movie.
We have Big.
Which is awesome.
And we have A Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
So, again, to recap, we pulled Rocky 5, Police Academy 5, Halloween 5, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5. I don't know how that has happened. But that is definite proof that our bag is too deep. Because we pulled the fifth all right.
This
in
is
a,
here's what this is. Yeah. Here's what this is right now. This is a pruning pass. We're doing this
we're
is
cutting,
what we're doing. We're taking no, we're not fucking watching any of these movies. All these movies are out.
What about Big?
It's out. We had to throw one out. We had to throw a bad one out. These six movies are now out of the bag and they will never be watched because I don't fucking want to watch them.
I really want to watch
Big. You're going to pick one more. Right. That's right. Seven pulls in one episode, guys. What a special night.
Hey, here's the thing that's
no
really...
matter what you pull, this is the movie we're watching.
You know what's boring?
These six are out. This one is
it. All of this process is boring.
This one is
here it. Here it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You may have just fucked yourself, dude.
No, I don't care. What is it? This is what we're watching. What is it?
What
is it?
Evil Dead.
Okay, fucking great. That's what people want
yeah,
to
exactly.
listen to. All you right. didn't want to hear any of these episodes. You do want to watch Evil or hear Evil Dead.
Evil Dead rules. Fuck
Join
you guys.
Join it for us next time on Does Your
Does
Favorite
Movie Suck?